Accession number 20294, Reel 1.
Mrs. Lim, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
I was born in Rangoon, Burma.
Which year was this?
In 1923.
Can you tell me something about your family background, please, about your mother and father?
My parents came from China. The place is called Fuzhou. And when my parents came to Rangoon, they started a cafe. The cafe is not even as good as the cafe here. The cafe is ground floor, maybe the size of four times the size of this room, and then we share. Two-third belongs to the opium den, and a third we live. Yeah, and there is a sort of a wall between two-third and one-third, you know, the partition.
Did you say opium den?
Yeah. Two-third is a opium den, and then one-third we live. Yeah, and then the front, as I said, about four times its size, just like a hall. Yeah, and we have our things there, and that side they come in and out, and then the cafe is just like this size, just like patio, yeah, in front, and we have a table, an urn, and cups and saucers there to make tea and coffee and all, and the people we serve normally, mostly. Those rickshaw pullers. You know rickshaw pullers? Yeah. And then we have tables and chairs on the road, you know? And that road where we live is very wide. It's what they call 50-foot street. The width is 50 foot. And that was how he set up to make his living.
What was this opium then?
People smoke opium. Don't you know how people smoke opium? Well, as far as I know, even though we were living there, I was very young, yeah? And they have like, not bed, you know, like a whole row of, they make it into a bed, you know, wooden plank, yeah? And they lie down there and they have something in the middle, a small little, just like burning, you see, you burn something here, and on top, just like kerosene oil, yeah? And then you burn it, and it's a long thing like that. And there's a little hole, I suppose they put opium there, and they burn it like that. And then they smoke it just like smoking a pipe, a long pipe, about this length. You see? And one man lie down this side, and the other man lie down that side, and they smoke. And the length, I tell you, that room, the width is, I told you, about twice this size, yeah? And because, as you can see, the bed is about this side, yeah? This big, and that side is that side. And there's a corridor in between. And I think it accommodated about, maybe you can have 10 people on that side and 10 people on this side. You know, two, like that. And then at the back is maybe as big as this. And we don't have bath or anything. They have built up brick thing, you know, where you put the water there. The water comes in and is in that brick thing. And then you have your bath. You see, we share it with those people. And then there's a toilet there, and we share with all those people, you know. And then at the back of that is a lane. You see, in Burma, you have a row of houses here and a lane and a row of houses there. And, you know, the streets are all parallel, just like New York. So this is how we lived. And they also have prostitute there. And these prostitutes will help them to put the opium into the pipe and all that. So that's how it is.
Was this legal? Was it?
I suppose it must be legal. No, I never see policemen come and catch them or anything.
And was it part of the cafe?
No. Cafe is ours. You see, I have a feeling, because I was so young, I have a feeling we rent this place. Yeah? It's let to the opium people, or they rent it to us. Because I remember we were living there for a long time. And we just live on this side. Yeah? Now, where we live, I show you. You see, this is what it looks like. And this is the road. And this is a little thing where we put urn and cups and saucer, make tea and all that. And then here are the tables where the rickshaw puller will have their tea and all. And then this is the place, just like a big room, yeah, where they go in and out. And this side is where we store our stuff. And then going in, this is the opium den, and this, a third, is where we live. And then at the back, this is the bathroom, and here is a little room where we have. So my parents, myself, my brother, and two sisters, three sisters, one brother, and parents, six of us, we live here.
And what was the address?
In Mount Kine Street. The street is called Mount Kine Street in Burma.
And it was in Rangoon. Hmm. And were the people around you Burmese people?
There were Chinese, there were Burmese, there were half castes. You know what we call half castes? Chinese and Burmese, they got married. That is what we call half castes. You know, half Chinese and half Burmese.
And how did the Burmese and Chinese and half-castes get on with each other?
Very well. Oh, in those days, there was no such thing as fighting and racism and all that. But I remember, I need to go and see in the library to read up this particular incident. Again, it was when I was young, I remembered. First of all, there was a fight between the Burmese and the Indian. And in those days, you see, people say Burmese people are very lazy. They never do any work. And the Indians are very hardworking. They have two groups of people, very hardworking and then low-class people. Low-class people are those who sweep the floor, clean the toilet, and do all these low-class jobs. And the rich people are those Indian who sell jewelry, you know, at another place, just like Hatton Garden. And Chinese, they do business, you know. They do import-export business and they sell goods to the people who come from the country. When I say country, means like here we regard as town, yeah. And people will come from Kent or Northern Ireland or not Northern Ireland, like Wales and all that. We call that country, you see. They will have to come to town and buy the thing and take it up there to sell. Yeah, so those are the jobs that Chinese people do. And Chinese people also, they sell rice. You see, Burmese people, Indian people will grow rice in the field, yeah, in the farm, outside the country. And then Chinese people will be, they are sellers. You see, they do big business.
But you said there was a fight between an Indian and a Burmese man?
Indian and Burmese, they fought. I don't know what was the cause of it. And then I was told that, you know, but Indian, these Indian people, they will kneel down and beg the Burmese not to fight and not to hit them. And when they knelt down, these Burmese just chop off their hand and hit them hard. And as you know, our customers are rickshaw pullers. And so I remembered my father brought in all these rickshaw pullers in our house. And we have a very big door, you know, in Burma, that house, wooden door, just like, you know, these castle we went, you know, big door, and they close it, and we cook rice and all that, gave these Indian to eat.
Well, your rickshaw pullers Chinese or Indian?
Indians. They are Indians. Rickshaw pullers are all Indians. And then, I don't know why, I really must go and look up this particular incident. And then after some time, it went on for maybe 1 or 2 months, all this fight. And then, I don't know why, Chinese took part. Now, when Chinese took part, Chinese used chopper and hit the Burmese. And so, all these things stopped. I think Chinese fought for the Indian, you know? So, that's the incident I remembered vividly.
What was the cause of all
that? I don't know. I have to go and look it up. I was too young, you know? I must look it up.
And were there any English people around?
No. I didn't see any English people then. You see, the school, after that, then I went to school. I went to kindergarten. Now, when I went to kindergarten, how old was I? I must try and work it out. 1942 is when we left. 1941, high school, 3 years. 1938, 3 years. 1935, 7, 8 years. 1927. Now, is that possible? 1927. I was 1921. I was born.
No, you were born in 1923.
23. Now, I have a feeling I must be 27 or 28. 1927 or 28. I was 4 or 5. I went to kindergarten. And I think my father must be doing quite well with the cafe business, because I remember I was taken to school by a rickshaw, you know. That means you are very rich, you know, to have a rickshaw to take you to school. And then lunchtime, the rickshaw puller will bring my lunch. So that's what I remembered. And so that's what I remember when I was young. These are the vivid things I remembered. And I was studying in Anglo-Chinese school, which was set up by American missionaries. You see, that was the only foreigner I saw, American.
What was the name of the school?
Methodist Anglo-Chinese School. Yeah, it's still there.
Was it a good education?
Well, as far as I know, it was good, because another thing, Chinese people, they go to Chinese school. Chinese school, they don't teach English so well. So very often, when they finish the school there, they come to us to learn Chinese. That's why I was very young. Yeah, I was very young. And these people come, they'll be very old, you see. And I remembered when I was, 1938, yeah. You know, I was in this middle school, what we call middle school. And my friends would be getting married, and I used to attend their wedding, because they are quite old, you see. And so in Burma at that time, they were classified Chinese school, and then our school, and then English Methodist school. Those who have money, they will go to English Methodist school, because we just got scholarship. We didn't have to pay school fees. And you have to be clever too. You know, every time when you have exam, you'll be given a blue card. That's very bad. You are not doing well. A pink card, not bad. A white card is very good. So I was quite clever. I got white card. And after my 7 years there, kindergarten and then seven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yeah? After the 7 year, you have what you call the government exam. Yeah, just like here. You know, before you go to secondary school. And I got a distinction. And my name was in the paper. Oh, I was so pleased. That was the first time. Because that's another struggle, because when I was at school, because we were so poor, yeah, and the teachers were horrible, very bad. I remember one teacher, she's very lazy, she's very fat. Her husband was a a solicitor. And she liked some students, and some of them would go to her house on weekend, you know, and they go there and, I don't know, have fun, I suppose. Anyway, my sister was one of her favorite, but I was not. And in the class, she would use the same notes for years on end, you know, and she won't do it, she won't write. And she'd ask one of the clever students to write the notes on the board, and we just copy it. And then you go home and study notes, you know. That's how we study, you know. Never explain to you what it is all about. You just copy notes and go home and study. And then maths, arithmetic, yeah. All right, you go home and do from chapter 1 to chapter 5 like that. And so all these students, they will copy from each other. And I won't, you see. I was a very honest student. I won't copy. I just do what I can. And then she would say, why can't you do it? Why they can do it? And I told her, they copy from each other. That's not your business. And so anyway, that's why when I had the final exam, I got distinction, you see. So I was very pleased to prove that honesty is the best policy. So.
And in those days, in the 20s and 30s, how was the British government regarded in Burma by people?
Well, I don't know about that. Because I was too young to understand all that. I don't know anything about politics. But I can tell you one thing which I remember vividly, impressed me. As I told you, my father has this cafe. Every time the man came to read the meter, now I know, yeah, they came to read the meter, he would go and open the drawer. You see, we put the money in the drawer, yeah, and he'd take out the money and go and stuff it into this man's pocket, you know. It's bribing. You understand? So for me, I make up my mind, you know, I will not bribe. And that man is what we call Anglo-Indian. Anglo-Indian is they got married Indian and English. And so they think they are superior, you know. So you must have seen on the television, they show you that nowadays a lot of Anglo-Indian, they went to Pune or somewhere, they are so poor, you see. And in latter part of India, when I was there, they were looked down upon. And so a lot of them came here.
When you, before you went to school, what language were you learning at home?
Oh, at home, we spoke Fuchaonese, you know. In China, we have a lot of dialects. Even in England, you have lots of dialects. You see, my parents are Fuchaonese, so we spoke Fuchaonese at home. But we have friends, they speak Fukienese, you know, so I learned that. And we also have friends who speak Cantonese, so I learned that. So I learned these three Chinese languages at home and with friends and all. But when we went to school, we learned how to speak Mandarin. It was in Mandarin. So that's how I speak four dialects. And then we have Burmese friend. As I told you, we have Burmese friend. We have Indian, these rickshaw puller. So that's how I learned Burmese and Indian language and all that in Burma.
What Indian language were they speaking, the rickshaw pullers?
Hindu language. Urdu, they call it. You know, just like maybe you can call it Cockney. You know, common language. Not Hindi is like written Indian language, isn't it?
Now, how old were you when you finished your schooling?
When I finished this middle school, then I went to high school. Then the high school is called Methodist Burmese High School. We don't have. When I was in this Anglo-Chinese school, I learned Burmese, English, and Chinese. And when I went to Methodist Burmese school, high school, I learned Burmese and English.
So you were still at high school when the war started?
No. When I finished high school, I got a scholarship. Because I studied very well, you know. I was quite good in my study, and I got distinction. That's the second time I have my name in the paper. And a teacher helped me to get scholarship to go to university, college, yeah? And you see, you have scholarship, it's no use. You still need money to go and stay in the hostel. And so she also found me a job. And so I was all set to go to university. Unfortunately, my sister, who was older than me, I was the youngest, she wanted to study medicine. And my parents were very old. At that time, my mother and my father, they were nearly 70. Yeah? No, my mother was nearly 60, my father was nearly 70. They are 10 years between each other. And nobody else at home. So I just couldn't bear to see my parents with nobody to look after them, to feed them. Somebody must work to bring in the money. And so I came out to work. And I was the first person to be employed by the British Army Intelligence Office. You know what they do? They censor letters and documents. And so I was the first employed by them. And very lucky too, because if I were in the university when the war broke out, then we'd be all stuck. But in this way, at least I have a job, yeah? And I was working, and my sister was in at the university, and my other sister was married. And so while I was working, the bomb fell right in front of us, you know. Our office was here, and the bomb fell into the river, Rangoon River, and we were all underneath the table. And so when that bomb fell, people from Burma, from Rangoon, they all went into the country to, just like here, you know, children were sent to the country, yeah, when the bomb was, when the German was bombing. And so my married sister went to the country with her family, and my mother and my this sister, who is studying to be a doctor, also went with them. So I was left alone with my father. My father at that time, he has no more business. Yeah? And so another bomb fell. So this time I was frightened too. I thought, oh, I better run then. So I went to where my mother was and my sisters were in the country, Bessin. When I went there, I discover my mother was not being treated well by my married sister because we have no money. We have to depend on her family to give her food and everything. And so I thought, how can this be? How long is this going to be? Where are we going to get the money? You know, when you have no money, you depend on somebody to feed you. It's a terrible thing. So I went back again, and I went to see my boss. I said, do you mind if I come back and work with you? So I got back my job, you know? And then, of course, we suffer from this bombing and all that, really frightening. You just do your best to hide yourself under the table or anything. There's no, you know, what do you call? They do have places where you go to hide.
Shelter.
No building shelter or anything, you know. Anyway, so then the situation became very bad. And then we moved. Our office was moved to northern Burma. You know the map of Burma. And so I went with the office. So it was good, you know. We went by train and we went to Lashio. And we were given a hotel to live in. And I chose to live in a hut, you know, build hut. Because so that my family can come and live with me, you see. Because if you live in a hotel, it's one room, isn't it? Yeah? So the same money, so I used that to go and live in a hut. It's a build, you know, they just build it like a room only, one room, two room, three room, four room, about six rooms. So my parents and my sister, they were able to come and live in there. And it so happened by that time, my brother came back from China. He was working in the Red Cross, and the Red Cross came him, sent him to Burma to get some medical stuff to go to China, the Burma Road, you know. And so it was good. At least we have another person in the family who is responsible for the family, because otherwise I was the only one who was earning the money. How old I was then? 1941. Yeah? 1940,
I think. You were about 18.
No, must be 19. You see, I think I went to, we even left Burma in 42, I think, isn't it? Yeah? 1942.
In 42, you would have been about 19.
Yeah. Before that, 1 year before, it was sometime in the summer. And so we were there. My father was very ill. He was suffering from dysentery. We couldn't get any medicine. And he was in the hospital. He died. He died there. And my boss was very kind. And we would look all over the place to find coffin and have to get people to make the coffin. And then my boss asked the worker in the office to make a cross and wreath and all that. And I don't know where he is. My grandson said he's going to travel this journey with me to make a record and video so that the rest of the family, younger people, will know how we came out of Burma. So when I go there, I must go and look for my father's grave because it was on a hill somewhere. In a way, I think my father is lucky because when he was alive, he was doing a lot of what we call community work because he's the oldest in the community. When people got married, they would come and ask me for advice. When people got sick, they would come and ask. When people quarrel, he would be the mediator, all kinds of things. And Chinese believe that when you die, you must be buried on a hill, you know, good place, and so that your grandchildren, great-grandchildren will prosper. And so there he was, buried on a hill. And he used to do, I remember when he was, before he died, when people came to him, he used to make tombstone, you know? And his hands would be eaten up by the cement. So that's how I lost my father at Lashio. And then we were there for some time, and then the situation became very, very bad. My boss said, you better go. You are going to China. You better go. And he even gave me £100, you know? And so the office closed down. And when we came out, when we left Lashio, at that time, my husband and I, we were not married. He was just chasing after me. And his family, they were in another part of Burma, which is called Mon Yua. You see, when you go from Rangoon to Mandalay, Mon Yua is there, Lashio is there. Yeah. And his family, they came to India. They are trying to come to India through that side. And the whole family died. The stepmother, the stepbrother, and four stepsisters, they all died. Because that place is very, very damp. A lot of people suffer from malaria, dysentery, and they all die. A lot of people die. So the person you saw who came out from that area alive is very lucky. So we went through Burma Road. What happened was my brother was in the Red Cross, so he has trucks to put all these medicine to take to China. And my husband has two cars because he bought cars to do business. At that time, they were doing business, you know, going down to the town and buy the food, you know, like milk powder, baby food or medicine or whatever to Lashio to sell. See, they use these cars to go to and fro to make business. So anyway, when we came out, they came out in two cars. My brother drove one and my husband drove one. And we left Lashio because the situation was very tense. And we got to a town which is just on the border. And we were resting there. And all the time, the situation was very tense, and we have to leave. And at that time, my sister, not the one who is studying medicine, the other sister who is married, she was pregnant with a baby. And so my brother said,